that was good. I enjoy all the devotionals. They're all very good. Looking at the Ten Commandments, we began last week with the sixth commandment, which is thou shalt not kill. We began by looking at the requirements of the commandment, and the most obvious, of course, is respect and value for human life. It's something that all of us ought to have concerning our own lives, concerning the lives of others. Concerning our own lives, it requires self-preservation. We do those things that keep us alive, hopefully keep us healthy. Needs to be preservation for life of others. The Hebrew is, thou shalt do no murder. And this is the way that Christ presents it. Notice in Matthew 19, verse 18. Matthew 19, verse 18. Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt do no murder. It's not that thou shalt not kill is a bad translation. It's just requires us to examine all the Word of God, put that statement in the context of the Word of God. And in so doing, we come to the obvious conclusion that this is not a blanket statement against all killing. Not all killing is murder. There are some who believe that it is, but you cannot possibly make that argument from the Word of God, nor can you make that argument from the foundation of common sense. So it is, again, not all killing is murder. We saw last week, just for some examples of where killing is not murder, this is not a prohibition against the killing of animals for food. We looked at that last week. To advance on that thought, it also does not prohibit the killing of animals which are a danger to us, a threat to our well-being, which could be tearing up your garden, whatever. That's not murder. I mean, people will go out, plant a garden, and let the rabbits and the raccoons and everything else get it and think that it's wrong to kill that rabbit or raccoon. I'm sorry, but that would be foolish to plant a garden for the rabbits. I mean, that just don't make sense. So to kill an animal that's a threat to our own life or the life of someone else, or it's going to do them bodily harm, or it's going to destroy our property and cause us an expense or whatever, I don't believe any of those things come under the heading of thou shalt not kill. Notice in 1 Samuel chapter 17, 1 Samuel chapter 17, we'll read verse 34, verse 36, and verse 37. And David said unto Saul, thy servant, speaking of himself, kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. They were a threat to those sheep. We see in verse 36 and 37, thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And then, of course, in the context, this uncircumcised Philistine, speaking of Goliath, so be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. So, again, David killed both the lion and the bear to protect sheep, to protect property. That's what he was doing. He was protecting property. We see also that Paul shook off the serpent into the fire in the book of Acts, chapter 28, verses 3 through 5. When Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks, laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Now, if a snake is about to bite you or is biting you, and you think it's wrong to kill that snake, you've got more problems than a snake bite. The thought process of that is just unbelievable. So again, thou shalt not kill does not prohibit the killing of animals for the protecting of our own life, the life of others, doing us bodily harm, doing harm to property. Also, this, of course, is not a prohibition against capital punishment. How many times people on the left who don't even believe in the Bible will pull out the Sixth Commandment as an argument against capital punishment? These same individuals do not translate that over into abortion. I mean, something's seriously wrong. But they will try to use the Sixth Commandment as a prohibition against capital punishment. To do that, you have to be ignorant of the Word of God. Either one is ignorant of the Word of God, or they are deliberately irresponsible in their use of the Scripture. In Genesis 9, verse 6, and this is before Moses was given the law. So this was a law of God before Moses was ever even given the law. In Genesis 9, verse 6, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. Now, that's kind of a blanket statement. But again, studying Scripture, you see, you can put it all together. And then he went on to say, for, here's the reason for this statement, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. It gets right back to that respect for human life. Human life is made in the image of God. So that these words state that capital punishment, one of the reasons it is necessary, is because of the sacredness of life. For in the image of God made he man. Because of the very sacredness of life, capital punishment is necessary. Then if we go over to Exodus chapter 21, see, God has given Moses the law. In Exodus 20, we have the Ten Commandments. And following the Ten Commandments, in Exodus chapter 21, verse 12, he that smiteth a man so that he die shall be surely put to death. He that smiteth a man so that he die shall surely be put to death. Someone will say, not here necessarily, well, that's God's business to put that man to death. Remember Genesis 9, verse 6. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. So Exodus 21:12 has to be in the context. It doesn't undo what is stated in Genesis 9 and verse 6. And then he goes on from that statement in verse 12 to give some guidelines for putting individuals to death for a crime. And these guidelines are very important. Again, you can go too far one way in saying that no one should be put to death. You can go too far the other way and be very hasty. And God gives guidelines. And since life is sacred, this is not something this is something that's serious. There has to be guidelines. There has to be guidelines for these things. And God gives them these guidelines. And within these guidelines, there are many principles that are established. So let's read verses 13 through around verse 32. And just pick up some of these guidelines. If a man lie not in wait, okay, so it's not premeditated. If a man lie not in wait, but God deliver him into his hand, then I will appoint thee a place whither he shall flee. This, of course, would be the cities of refuge that we read in the book of Joshua. But if a man come presumptuously, okay, he's given some thought to this, upon his neighbor to slay him with guile. There's a big difference between killing someone accidentally without premeditation. There's a big difference between that and meditating upon killing someone, and God makes a distinction. This individual, thou shalt take him from mine altar. They could flee to the altar, and they would lay hold on the altar, hoping to find safety. But this individual that murdered someone and did so in a premeditated way, you can go and you can take him from that altar. And the reason is that he may die. And he that smiteth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. He that stealeth a man, it's kidnapping, and selleth him, or if he be found in his hand, he shall surely be put to death. He that curseth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. And if men strive together, and one smite another with a stone or with his fist, and he die not, but keepeth his bed. So this man's injured, he's in bed. If he rise again and walk abroad upon his staff, so it is upon his cane, so the injury has long-term effects, then shall he that smote him be quit. Only he shall pay for the loss of his time and shall cause him to be thoroughly healed. So the man has a responsibility. You see, our human laws are based, not all of them today, of course, but the old laws are based upon biblical principles. And if a man smite his servant or his maid with a rod, and he die under his hand, he shall surely be punished. Notwithstanding, if he continue a day or two, he shall not be punished, for he is the money. That is, the loss of this individual is the penalty. Verse 22, if men strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, and no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. And if any mischief follow, now to me that means several things. It means death, but it also means any physical harm to that baby. If any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life. I want to tell you, people who do things during their pregnancy that cause a baby to be born with physical problems, that is a crime. Well, society doesn't look at it. I don't much care what society thinks. That is a crime. That is a crime. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. That's talking now about injury. We see that death, thou shalt give life for life. You do something to a woman or child, she loses that baby, that's murder. Life for life. You do something that causes that baby to be blind, or a lame, that's what this is saying. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. And if a man smite the eye of his servant or his eye or the eye of his maid that it perish, he shall let him go free for his eye's sake. That's talking about servants. And if he smite his own manservant's tooth or his maidservant's tooth, he shall let him go free for his tooth's sake. If an ox gore a man or a woman that they die, then the ox shall be surely stoned, and his flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the ox shall be quit or released. Now, none of us own oxen. The principle is laid down. We do own dogs, and the principle carries over to whether it's an ox, a dog, whatever. But if the ox were wont to push with his horn in time past, that is, this ox had a history of attacking, the owner knows that it has a history of attacking, and it hath been testified to his owner, and he hath not kept him in, that is, he has not taken responsibility for his oxen, but that he hath killed a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and his owner also shall be put to death. So if you have a dog, and you know that that dog is going to bite someone, and you don't have a fence, and you just let your dog run loose in the front yard, guess what? You're responsible if that dog bites someone. Or worse, kill someone. both the animal and the owner in this case were put to death. Verse 31, whether he hath gored a son or hath gored a daughter, according to this judgment shall it be done unto him. If you have an animal that has bitten your son or daughter, you're not too smart to keep that animal around. And you have a responsibility. If the ox shall push a manservant or a maidservant, he shall give unto their master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned. So there's some general guidelines. Notice Numbers 35. Numbers 35, verses 16 through verse 21. You see, today, there is a disconnect between actions and consequences. There is a generation, and I this isn't a blanket statement, certainly there are exceptions, but we now have a generation that does not have a clue. They do not recognize in their brain actions, consequences. they just don't get it. I mean, people today, you pull a gun, you point a gun at a policeman, you are going to get shot.
That's right.
I mean, you don't have to have a degree to figure that out. That is an act, there is a consequence. And that goes on to all kinds of things. You disregard the word of God. You live like an animal morally. There are consequences for those things. And it is no one's fault but yours. And the one who's doing the act. But today, again, the Bible very plainly teaches that there are acts, there are consequences. But today there's this disconnect. And there's several reasons for that, and we're not going to get into that. But Numbers 35, verse 16. If he smite him with an instrument of iron so that he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. Again, going back to Genesis 9, verse 6. By man he shall be put to death. And if he smite him with throwing a stone wherewith he may die, and he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. I want you to notice, the instrument of iron is not the problem. The problem is the man who picked that instrument of iron and hit someone with it. That's the problem. The problem in the next verse is not the stone. The problem is the one who picked up the stone and thrown it. Now, something is wrong with the human brain to think that the gun is the problem. The gun is not the problem. Just like the rock is not the problem. Just like the iron is not the problem. Just like the hammer is not, or whatever the instrument is. The instrument is not the problem. And you can outlaw all the instruments you want. You still have not fixed human nature. You still have not addressed the problem, which is man. But it's much easier to blame the manufacturer of the iron. People's thinking, it's scary. Verse 19, the revenger of blood himself shall slay the murderer. When he meeteth him, he shall slay him. If he thrust him of hatred or hurl at him by laying in wait, that he die, or an enmity smite him with his hand, that he die, he that smote him shall surely be put to death, for he is a murderer. The revenger of blood shall slay the murderer when he meeteth him. Notice verse 30. Whoso killeth any person, the murderer shall be put to death by the mouth of witnesses. So we're getting some guidelines here. Can't just out of the blue say so-and-so killed so-and-so. This has to be established in the mouth of witnesses. But one witness shall not testify against any person to cause him to die. Because you cannot kill somebody based on one person's witness. Why? Because of the value of human life. Because of the value of human life. So even when the Bible teaches capital punishment, care is to be taken. Care is to be taken. Verse 31. Moreover, you shall take no satisfaction for the life of a murderer. There's no plea bargaining here. Which is guilty of death, but he shall be surely put to death. So shall ye not pollute the land wherein ye are. In other words, if you do not do this, you do not carry out capital punishment, you have polluted the land. For blood, it defileth the land, and the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it. Defile not therefore the land which ye shall inhabit. He's giving them laws for the land of Canaan. He's saying if you do not carry out capital punishment, you are going to defile the land. Deuteronomy 19, verses 15 through 21, we see more guidelines are laid down. So when a judge sentences a murderer to death, and the state carries out that sentence, that is not murder. And how many people say, well, that we're no better than the one who killed? No, it's entirely different. The Bible states that. So you see, the judge is vested by the state, but even more important than that, by God. He's vested with authority. He has authority. And we've run out of time, but Romans 13 teaches that, and we'll look at that next week. So when a judge sentences someone to death, the state carries out that sentence, not 25 years later. That is not murder. You cannot argue on biblical grounds that capital punishment is immoral. You can't make that argument on biblical grounds. You can't even make the argument on, again, the grounds of common sense. You can argue it all you want to. But you can't argue it on biblical grounds. Can't be done. And we'll continue a little more next week with that thought and then go into some other areas that are not prohibited by this sixth commandment. Let's look to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again, Lord, for this day. We again, Lord, thank you for the laws that you've given us in your word and how they protect us and how they protect us from ourselves. And Lord, we just thank you for all the safeguards that you've put in your word. And Lord, we pray today as we worship you, Lord, that you'd help us. Help us, Lord, to be free of all the distractions that Brother Charlie talked about. Lord, just help us. And we just pray that your name would be glorified in everything we do. In Jesus' name, amen.